Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, what's happening, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, welcome. It's Fantasy NBA Today. Start of week 24, officially. 23rd period. It's the finals for Yahoo Leagues. It's second to last week. No matter how you slice it, penultimate is the word. A lot of people like that word. I find it just fine. I'm agnostic towards the word penultimate. It's a good one, though. It means the second to last. And that's where we're at, folks. We got 2 weeks left of the NBA season. We're 90% of the way through. Just a handful of games left for most of these teams. 7 or 8. That's pretty much it for everybody in the league. We're going to talk about the stretch run. This is it. On this show today, we're going to be recapping the weekend. We'll go through all 30 teams just the way we've done basically every Monday all season long, minus the All-Star break. And we'll get you the ads, we'll get you the drops, we'll get you situated for how to attack this week. And then later on this afternoon, I am trying to figure out exactly what time that'll be. Probably 1:30-ish, 1:32 Pacific time. We'll have a streaming show. Just like we've been doing last 3 or 4 weeks on that front, try to do them as often as I can. We have managed to squeeze out a couple of quick ones over the weekend, and we'll do that again today, although this one will have a look kind of at the entirety of the week. It'll be more of a weekly preview show and streaming analysis all rolled together, and again, that'll be later on this afternoon. And I got a couple of questions before we dive into the actual meat and potatoes of this show on why I've split them up. And honestly, it was looking at shows from previous seasons, basically, where I did shows around this time of year where I tried to mash it all together. And I found myself rushing unnecessarily to try to get it all together in, you know, 45 to 55 minutes. And on top of that, I don't have a producer. I am the producer of this show. So when I'm off on a tangent, a rant, whatever, I don't generally have the presence of mind to go look at the YouTube feed and see, timestamp it. Because what would be really nice, and the easiest way to do this would be to do one giant show, but also timestamp where all the different things are happening. But I don't have time for that, because I don't want to listen back to the whole thing. I don't want to listen to myself talk for 45 minutes twice in the same day. Heaven help me, heaven help all of you. To go say, oh, this is where Dan talks about this game, and this is where Dan talks about streaming, and this is where we get into the ads. So instead, I just split it up. However long this first show goes, it goes. I'm not rushing it. I do it at whatever pace I want. And then those that are interested in the streaming side, they can get into the second show. And those are almost always going to be between 10 and 20 minutes long. They're pretty quick. One commercial break in the middle. That's it. So that's why I split them up. It's just sort of an organizational thing. I think it's easier for you guys. Roto folks can focus more on the first one. They don't even have to listen to the second show if they don't want to. I don't know. Maybe they do. Head-to-head folks, you guys can do both or just the second one. It's kind of an on-demand listening experience. That was the goal here. Let's get into the weekend. We'll go through the games in reverse chronological order. You guys know how this works by this point. And then at the end of it all, we'll play the game that I like to call Who Didn't Play on Saturday or Sunday? Dan always forgets. But luckily, late this season, I've had the streaming schedule up on my computer at all times, so I can very quickly pull up the 4 teams. I already know there were 4 teams that didn't play Saturday or Sunday and make me look like less of a disorganized goof. Cleveland smoked in Denver. Let's just dive right in. Oh, by the way, I'm at Dan Vespers on Twitter. Many of you are watching over there these days, which is super cool, although I don't think it does quite as much for the old advertiser's pocketbook, if you know what I mean. But many of you guys are watching on Twitter. I would strongly advise those of you that are watching on social media to go subscribe on YouTube or iTunes or Spotify or something like that so you guys can get alerts. Because there will be shows in the offseason that don't go live on social or YouTube, frankly. There will be some we do that are audio only. Because in the offseason, ain't nobody watching fantasy basketball stuff on YouTube. I'm going to try to do as many as I can this way. But it also gets super complicated when I'm, like, working off of an Excel file and it's getting really into the weeds. Anyway. All right. Okay. Talk fantasy basketball. Caris LeVert had a big ball game. That won't happen very often with Donovan Mitchell back. There is concern that Spida gets some games off here and there. Cleveland has a back-to-back coming up at Utah, at Phoenix. If he's going to skip either of them, it would probably be the Utah half, although it does kind of feel like they need wins right now, so we'll see how that goes. Suffice it to say that for LeVert, he becomes a little bit more of a, you know, shot-in-the-dark kind of guy. You're hoping for some steals, which you got in this ballgame. You're praying the efficiency doesn't get ruined, which also did happen in this ballgame. It stayed good. And then if, you know, if that works, then you get a couple points, a couple boards, a couple of assists. For my dollar, it's too risky. Max Strus, now that he's playing again and his body looks better, he again hit more than 50% of his shots, although this time it was only five of them. I don't know that he's quite all the way above the start everywhere line. He's probably going to land in the 100 to 130 range, which technically makes him kind of like a front ender of the doesn't matter group. So there you're targeting threes and just kind of like a little bit of all things. But again, these are guys, for those that need to be reminded, the doesn't matter group this time of year are really the category hunting group. They're one and the same. So if you're category hunting some threes, Max Strus makes some sense there. I only had one in this ballgame. He'll also give you a little bit of some other stuff as well. He's not quite as, you know, unidimensional, monodimensional. Biffed that one. Anyway, let's keep going. For Denver, there's very little to talk about. Reggie Jackson is filling in for Jamal Murray. He scored a bunch in this ballgame. Super risky fill-in play. Again, category hunting. Points and assists. That's it. That's what you're going for with Reggie. And you can't be attacking anything else because he's almost never going to give you anything else. Otherwise, everything same old for the Denver Nuggets. Big news of the morning, and I don't know why I didn't start with this, probably because I had all these other things that I wanted to kick around in my brain. Joel Embiid might be back for Philly's next ball game on Tuesday, which is going to dramatically change how the shots are allocated on this club. Although it's worth mentioning, he's not going to come in and play 35 minutes right out of the shoot. You're probably going to get 18 out of him in that first ball game. So I don't think today's the day to make big adjustments to what you're doing with the 76ers, other than obviously Embiid is now starting and Mo Bamba and Paul Reed are now fighting for the backup minutes together. Brutal. If you have Paul Reed or Mo Bamba, you can probably move on at this point. Reed has been barely able to hang on for the last couple of weeks on blocks, basically. I don't know how many weeks in a row I've said I have this weird sinking feeling about Paul Reed maintaining fantasy value, and he made it almost the whole way. Barely. But now, no. Bamba, no. Healed, no. Campaign scored 24 points filling in for Tyrese Maxey, but honestly, between those two guys, Payne and Lowry with the other one, who had 11 and 10, I'd rather go Kyle Lowry because he gets the assists and he gets steals, whereas Payne, it's you're just praying he shoots the ball well from the field on whatever one game you're starting him in. And he did in this one, but he usually doesn't. Campaign is much better for points leagues than Ninecat. Tyrese Maxey could be back for that next ballgame as well, so I don't know this is a situation where you make a move ahead of time, but if you're assist hunting, Lowry would probably be the guy in that department. You're not adding Nick Batum, and you can probably play Kelly Oubre for one more ballgame at least while we wait for Embiid to get acclimated, especially here with no Embiid or Maxey. You knew Oubre was going to get a lot of shots, and he had himself a giant ballgame as a result. Toronto will be getting back both Emmanuel Quickley and RJ Barrett for their game against the Lakers tomorrow. That's just the way that it works. If the Lakers are coming, you're getting everybody fired up. It's classic, man. Start your guys again. These guys have been out for weeks, and the Lakers show up, and they're all back in there. Kelly Olynyk, he's a start. I keep getting questions. I mean, look, the reason his value isn't as high as usual is that it's being kind of artificially deflated by horrible turnovers right now. But he's doing all this across the board stuff, and like this is a monster game. Without the turnovers, it's a Goliath of a ball game. Even with them, it's a damn good one. Gary Trent is going to score a bunch of points. He's going to hit some threes. He'll get you a couple of steals. He's startable as well. Bruce Brown had a nice game, but with Quickley and Barrett coming back, that's a no. Frankly, Gary Trent probably slides back towards barely startable with Quickley and Barrett in, but I think Trent probably does still stay above that cut line. Hell, Olynyk might get better if he has actual, like, legitimate NBA players to throw a ball to get assists. Kelly's going to pile up assists right now. You can keep an eye on Jordan Wara, Javon Freeman, Liberty if you want, but again, with guys coming back, and Grady Dick, same story. Those guys are just, they don't belong even on your radar. I think you'll start Olynyk, Trent, Quickley, and Barrett. And Barrett is points league only. Miami beat Washington, no surprise there. How they got there was a little bit interesting because Nikola Jovic had a decent game. Delon Wright had a pretty good ball game. Haywood Highsmith had 10-4 again. But guess what? You know who doesn't care and has two thumbs? This guy. Rozier, Bam, Jimmy. Those are the easy ones. And Duncan Robinson's back. So there's good news on the Duncan Robinson front. If he was abandoned in any of your leagues, go check around. He don't have a particularly great schedule this week, but certainly more so on the Roto side. And they play four games, so at least you got that. I'm guessing Duncan Robinson probably got dropped in a few spots. If he did, go ahead and pick him up. He played well when he was in there and Hero was out. He's just been down for whatever it is, you know, week and a half, 2 weeks or so prior to that. And he's done a really nice job of doing other stuff besides just taking three-pointers this year. Now, the threes are still good. He's still hitting three of them a ball game, but the reason that his field goal percent is back up from 37 last year to 46 this year is that he's started to take some two-pointers again. And it's not like it's not that big of a change, but this is a guy, Robinson was taking like 85% of his shots from three-point land, and this year it's at like 70. It's small, but it's notable. He's attacking more, and he's shooting 40% from downtown, so he's back up kind of where he belongs there, but he's attacking more. And it's good for his field goal percent, and so then it kind of becomes good for all the other stuff that's going on. His scoring is better. He's just under his career high, which was set back in 2019-2020, at 13.5 points. This year he's at 13.4, and he maybe gets above that if Tyler Hero doesn't come back this regular season. I know it wasn't a good ball game yesterday. I sort of don't care on that front. And again, you're going to get a lot of three-pointers out of him regardless because the numbers are better for Robinson when he's starting, which is happening now. These moments. It's, you know, I don't know that he gets above like top 90-ish range, but I would say generally good enough to start in most formats unless you very much do not need three-pointers at all. That's the way that this is like, okay, I'll let somebody else deal with this one. If you don't need three-pointers even the tiniest bit, because a lot of his value is derived from that category, even if there is some other stuff available as well. For the Wiz, Kyle Kuzma was out. It was his heel instead of his shoulder this time. We'll see if that changes the way that they're utilizing him this week. Corey Kispert got his 13 shots up, missed his free throws. I mean, this is like, the free throw thing with Kispert is super weird. But look, when Kuzma's out, Kispert is generally a start, and he played 41 minutes. Almost anybody in the NBA who clears 40 minutes in a ballgame is fantasy startable. Almost. So Kispert might be an ad for the week, because we don't know if Kuzma's, he might be done. We'll see. Jordan Poole's still going. Denny Avdia's still going. Marvin Bagley is back to starting with no Rashawn Holmes. So Bagley is very much an ad right now while we wait and see what goes on with Rashawn. We'll see if that flip-flops at some point this week, so kind of stay tuned on that. If Poole shuts it down at some point, and he hasn't yet, Jared Butler would be the interesting ad because he's been racking up assists in his limited work off the bench. But we do need another guy or two, maybe even out of the way, for Jared Butler to be worth an actual fantasy ad. So for now, Marvin Bagley's the ad. Kispert is a stream with Kuzma out. And then Poole and Avdija just continue to kind of rumble along at whatever clip you call a rumble.
Hey, pet parents, are you searching for the perfect place for your dog to play? Check out Camp Bow Wow. Our safe and supervised doggy daycare and boarding ensures your pup gets the socialization they crave while giving you peace of mind. With our certified staff and clean and spacious facilities, your dog will have a blast making friends and staying active. Join the Camp Bow Wow Pack today. Your first day is free. Visit us at campbowwow.com. Franchise opportunities available.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If Itza Zubats is your big man play, like we've talked about for a week, he's in one of his little warm-up grooves. Happens about three times every season for Zubats, and it's happening now. Otherwise, you just start the stars on the Clippers. Over on the Charlotte side, Vasilij Micic, Nick Richards, this happened within the last... Oh, Joel Embiid, by the way, just got ruled out within the last 2 minutes. He will not play in the Sixers' next ball game. So it was close, but not quite. So Embiid is going to miss one more. Tyrese Maxey is questionable, so he might be back for that one. So you can continue to do what you were doing with Philly for at least one more game, that again being tomorrow. Nick Richards, Vasilij Micic, each listed as questionable. Alexei Pokuševski doubtful for the Charlotte Hornets for the next ball game. What does that mean? Well, Grant Williams becomes an excellent one-game play for Charlotte. Do they play today or tomorrow? They play today. So you may not have time to make that move. But if you can, Grant Williams sliding up and getting the center minutes has been very, very good for his fantasy value. So you go Miles Bridges, Grant Williams in this game with Richards questionable. If he gets ruled out, I should say, forgot to mention that. Whoops. Let's assume, let's say Nick Richards? I'm struggling, guys. Let's say Nick Richards is out for their ball game tonight. Then you go Grant Williams. Otherwise, Grant is more of a three-point stream. Bridges, Brandon Miller, those guys are starters, whatever. Micic is an assists stream right now. Trey Mann is kind of your little bit across the board, hope for okay percentages every night kind of play. Low floor, kind of low ceiling. You guys remember at the All-Star break, I said I wasn't excited about these dudes. Trey Mann, Keontae George, I tried to level off everybody's expectations of dudes that had never really put up consistent numbers, and they did it for like a week, and then everybody told me I was wrong, and now, you know, who's not wrong anymore? There's a chance that Davis Bertans would be a three-point play if Richards sits. And I mean, look, you can play Trey Mann if you want. You can get a few rebounds, a few assists, and a steal. That's fine. But he's in a category hunting group of players, along with most of these guys. Not all of them, but many. That's why this type of show is actually kind of hard to do right now, because so many of the options are just category hunters. Miles Bridges, Brandon Miller, those guys are plays. Grant Williams would be a play in all formats if Richard sits. If it's not, he's category hunting threes and some boards on okay percentages. And Nick Richards is hunting boards and field goal percent if he plays. And Micic is hunting assists if he plays. And Trey Mann is hunting some boards and some assists and a steal if he plays. None of these guys is a guy that's going to make or break your team on the head-to-head side. But again, like, you play these guys, and if you're attacking certain categories, that's what you get. Rui Hachimura, he sort of got challenged by his team to go get some damn rebounds. This happens a couple of times a season with Rui, where somebody yells at him, hey, you can't just stand there. You're like 6'9", 6'10". Go get a board. And he does it for a few games, and then he kind of throttles back down again. So you could probably play Rui right now for points, good percentages, and boards, but just understand that the boards might evaporate before your eyes as soon as their next ball game. We just don't know when that's going to disappear. D'Angelo Russell hit 10,000 points in his NBA career. Congrats to D'Lo. And for the Lakers, you know, for the moment, you can start all five starters, although I think we know that Rui's the guy that tapers off here as time elapses. For the Brooklyn Nets, Cam Johnson is out. He'll get a rest day. Dennis Smith Jr. has been dealing with some hip soreness, but he didn't really play anyway. Trendon Watford had a big one off the bench. Don't care. Mikal Bridges can't shoot. This has been a rough year for him. But you play Bridges, you play Cam Thomas, you play Nick Claxton. I think Dennis Schroeder, with Johnson and Dennis Smith Jr. both back out, Schroeder is playable again. When those guys are in, the other Cam Johnson and Dennis Smith, I don't think there's enough point guard stuff left. Not that like those guys are point guards or anything, but they're just more dudes to share the basketball with. Cam Thomas being there is the one immediately that turned Schroeder from an everyday guy to a barely guy. And then if you add more people to the mix, I don't know that Schroeder gets above kind of a schedule play. For now, short term, Cam Johnson and Dennis Smith Jr. out. You can probably go Schroeder in most formats. Definitely if you're hunting some points and assists. He doesn't do much else. And then when the team gets healthy, and again, I don't know that they will because the season is done. Brooklyn's cooked. They're counting it out here. Does Schroeder even take a game off in there? Who knows? But as other guys miss time, then he elevates little by little. And this is just another example of why it's so hard to do a show that's trying to predict the next 2 weeks when we just don't even know who's going to play the next hour. I don't even know if that was clear. Was my feelings on Schroeder, was that clear? I think he's probably around top 100 when a few guys are out, and he's probably more like an assists, points, targeted guy when the team is mostly there. Draymond Green, huge ball game. I don't know where the hell this one came from, but it certainly didn't hurt him that Jonathan Kuminga's out. So Kuminga's out, so Draymond is doing a little bit more. Trayce Jackson-Davis, his job is much more secure, and you just sort of pray that he doesn't go to the free throw line very often. Brandon Podziemski had his first better game in about a week and a half. You're not going to pay much attention to that. Chris Paul continues to trend down. He's just not getting that much playing time right now, and I believe, frankly, it's hard for me to say, Chris Paul's a drop. In most formats, Chris Paul's a drop. Now, if someone got out of the way, okay, but they aren't right now. His minutes are just lower. And Andrew Wiggins had been trending way up and then laid a serious egg in this ball game. I think you can probably hold a little bit longer on Wiggins. You know I've been reticent to get on board with that one, but he'd been playing so well that you kind of have to be like, all right, I guess we'll just see what happens. Draymond, with Kuminga out, we don't know how long that's going to be. With Kuminga out, Trayce Jackson-Davis, he was already pretty well locked in as a big man play with some nice upside if he doesn't shoot free throws. This firms that up. And then you probably get a little bit more out of Draymond, mostly because everybody's just going to have to take a few extra shots and do a little bit more. So those guys are both more firmed up. Where Draymond, I had kind of downgraded to more of a punt points, like kind of category hunty sort of player. He's probably a little bit above that now. Chris Paul's the real surprise. Klay, you're holding on to. Obviously, Steph. Bring that one up. Wiggins barely holding on. And then Chris Paul, probably not. San Antonio, Wemby, Trey Jones. And when he's back, Devin Vassell. It's the same thing as always. I'm going to repeat myself a bunch of times. A bunch of guys were out. No Vassell, no Sohan. Forgetting Keldon Johnson was also out for this ballgame. And the amazing thing is that with all those guys out, no one really stepped up to have fantasy value. Chidi Osman had 18 points, but didn't do anything else. Zach Collins had 13 and 8 off the bench, but that was sort of lucky. And then Julian Champagny was, in my opinion, probably your closest bet. He played 38 minutes, so I guess if all those guys are out again, you could probably start Champagny. Assume you're going to get a couple threes, some boards, some assists, usually get some steals mixed in there. Malachi Branham would be the points league try. But again, I don't see how you use a bunch of moves on this team. San Antonio has a bad schedule, first of all. They play one game over 4 days to start the week, and then all these guys might be back tomorrow for all we know. So, probably a pass. Derek Lively left early for Dallas. He was more of a category hunting schedule type guy. PJ Washington, also a schedule level dude. It's Luka, it's Kyrie, it's Gafford. Those are your plays on Dallas. Houston lost, busted up their winning streak. And, you know, I don't know that anything is necessarily locked in. They're now two games back at the Warriors, which is surmountable, but not easy. And I got yelled at on Twitter a little bit yesterday, but I sort of don't care. The Rockets were playing well. I don't want what I'm about to say to make you guys feel like they weren't, but it didn't hurt their cause that six of their wins over the winning streak came against the Blazers twice, the Jazz twice, and the Wizards twice. You know, every win counts. They also played the Cavaliers with no Donovan Mitchell, and I don't think Evan Mobley was even back for that ball game yet. So the Cavaliers without two or, and Strus without three of their starters. That was a win that wasn't super hard to get. They beat the Thunder without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, which, you know, that wasn't an easy one. They took him to overtime. Thunder are good with or without SGA. They're very good with him. So that win was fine. It just felt like the win over the Kings was kind of like the one where you were like, oh, this is a pretty good ball game. And then the other ones, you were like, okay, yeah, but... And now they played a good team, and they got beat. And now they got the Timberwolves, the Warriors, that'll be a big one, the Heat, the Mavs again, the Magic, in a row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 good teams straight. If they lose another one or two of these, the season's basically over. But in my opinion, this is where you find out if the Rockets, you know, Son, Alper, and Şengün are really better, or if the schedule played a nice little helper role. Ball game was over kind of early, so a lot of guys got goofball minutes. They played some dudes the normal amount, but whatever. Amon Thompson had some foul issues. He was still fine. Not great, but fine. Keep an eye on Cam Whitmore. If the Rockets get eliminated in the next two or three ball games, you might see, you know, like Freddie Van Vliet take a few games off. You might see Dylan Brooks take some games off when the team gets knocked out, if or when the team, I should say, gets knocked out. And then you'd probably want to take a shot on a guy like Whitmore maybe for the last two or three ball games, but I don't think we're quite there yet. Chicago, the Bulls, actually playing kind of well down the stretch. I don't know that it matters all that much. They're the 9 seed now, and they're not catching the Sixers, but probably can stay ahead of the Hawks, get home court in that, you know, winner-take-all, and then to another winner-take-all. No surprises here. Start the starters. Easy one. Minnesota, you're basically at start the starters, not Jaden McDaniels, Mike Conley, Naz Reid, Gobert, Anthony Edwards. Those are the four guys you're playing. Kyle Anderson, affectionately known as Slow Mo, had a few good games in a row. And on the podcast, I think on Friday and even on Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday last week, I said it a couple times. I was like, I really do think that he settles back towards a rebounds, assists, steals play because of games like this one, where the steals are still there. The other stuff disappears. You know, he floats his value with defensive stats. You could probably play him in most formats unless you're hunting threes or something like that. So for Slow-Mo, you're probably good enough. Very borderline. 100 range would be my guess. Fluctuating day to day, week to week between, you know, 80 and 140. So slightly better than doesn't matter, but not a game changer. Thunder, game winner. Speaking of game something, Josh Giddey had a triple-double. Continues to play well here down the stretch. But with Shai back, I don't think I can take that plunge. Well, maybe Giddey's just in a groove now. It's possible. It happens every once in a blue moon, but too risky for me. So back to Shai, Jalen Williams, and then Chet Holmgren had a rare bad one. And for the Knicks, yeah, basically playing everybody that they're going to give 30-some-odd minutes to. And Isaiah Hartenstein now, with Mitchell Robinson back out, tweaked his ankle again. Hartenstein got 29 minutes. He's a behemoth in that amount of time. So you got McBride, Hartenstein, Hart, DiVincenzo, Brunson. Easy calls for the Knicks right now. Precious Achiuwa, you can probably play with Robinson out if you need boards and some field goal percent and usually a steal. So again, category hunting is on the board, but not in all formats. And Sacramento blew out the Jazz, but who cares? Utah's done. They've pulled the plug on this season. No John Collins in this game. Lauri Markkanen, they're going to say sore, so he's out for at least 2 weeks, which is the length of the year at this point. So what do you do? Well, You have Walker Kessler, who's going to get minutes as long as John Collins is out. Kessler's a play. You got Colin Sexton, who's going to do stuff because he's just going to do stuff. And then you got a bunch of question marks. You got Bryce Sensabaugh, who had 22 points in this ball game, and you can look at him and go, well, and if you squint hard enough and assume that none of the guys come back for Utah, Sensabaugh would probably make sense as a schedule type of play. I don't think I'd go beyond that. Keyonte George, unbelievably inefficient in what he's been doing over the last few weeks. He's been literally killing teams with his field goal percent. But if you need points and a couple of assists and some threes, you could probably category hunt there a little bit. And Taylor Hendricks is the one for me that actually is more of the question mark. Can he stay above the cut line? My guess is probably not, but it's not a guarantee. Hendricks is a guy that is definitely a schedule level play. So if Utah, their schedule stinks to start the week, but, you know, improves a little bit as you get later on in this one. Roto, no, I don't have the stones for it. Really, only Kessler and Sexton, and if John Collins plays, are the guys that I would play against the games cap. And the rest of these dudes, you're very much just saying, okay, can I get one, two, three categories that I'm trying to pull together? For the Kings, no Malik Monk. I think that happened over the weekend, right? We haven't talked about that on the podcast yet. There is fear that he's going to miss weeks and not days, which means you got a whole lot of Keon Ellis, 5'8"-3 with a steal and a three-pointer. This is kind of the floor for him, so that's cool. You're going to get more shots out of Harrison Barnes, but he's more of a... And frankly, Keon Ellis is a little bit of a category hunter as well, but it probably more accurate to call Keon Ellis just a punt points guy that probably does profile as above top 100, even if you're not punting points, but very, very impressive if you are. Harrison Barnes, category hunting, points, threes, and percentages, but he doesn't do anything else, so probably not a top 100 play, you know, 125-ish with all these other dudes out. And then, I mean, you know, Keegan Murray gets to go big. De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis are already doing their stuff anyway. But, you know, all these guys out, that's good for Keegan Murray. It's good for Keon Ellis. It's good for Harrison Barnes. And, oh, Trey Lyles resurfaced. That's interesting only for my 30 deep team, which is a lost. I lost. It's best 2 out of 3 in the finals. I'm in the finals against the great Dr. A. As you guys heard on a pod last week, I lost the first week 5-4. It ended up pretty close, actually. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do. I need to win both percentages, I think, to stand a chance. And, I don't know, does that mean I drop Trey Lyles into my lineup? It might. 30 deep. 12 teamers. I think you go Fox, Sabonis, and Murray, and Ellis. I think all four of those guys make the cut. And then Barnes is more of the doesn't matter range, so it's got to be a little more category related. Let's turn the clock back to Saturday. It was not a particularly busy day. And again, I already know which four teams we're going to have to look at on Friday. Boston beat New Orleans. Their guys were all playing for this ball game. I don't know if they're going to play in the next one because Boston has what's known as a gimme coming up tonight against a Charlotte team that might be without two more guys, depending on who sits. I think you'll probably see the Boston regulars play against the Thunder on Wednesday, Sacramento Friday, maybe not Sunday against Portland. They'll try to get their guys some rest against the easy ones, and Boston's runaway with the best record in the NBA, so there's really no reason to push anyone. But you guys know what to do. If Porzingis sits, Al Horford is a start. If Jaylen Brown is questionable, if he sits, you probably get Sam Hauser in there. And if either guard sits, Holiday or White, you get Peyton Pritchard in there. Funny thing is, Boston's had all these great fantasy assets all season long. This is the most interesting they've been for a daily fantasy show because for the last like 2 weeks is the only time we've really been able to do anything with Celtics all year other than just start them blindly. Valanciunas back down to 15 minutes in this loss. Anytime he plays an opposing big that can basically step out and stretch the floor, JV gets run off the court. And they run small. Small is a relative term because it's Zion at center. He's not a small dude, but he's also not a super tall guy. And so JV is very much a category hunt at this point. Some boards and some field goal percent typically, but you ain't getting anything else out of him these days. Bam. Hey, Dyson Daniels is back. That surprised me. I didn't see that one coming. I thought he was just done. That, by the way, if the team ever gets fully healthy, would probably not be great before. We saw Herb and Trey Murphy take hits before, but I don't think that those guys are playing too well. Nothing's changing what they're doing right now. Oh, Memphis. Yeah. Desmond Bane back out, and I think he's already been ruled out for their next ball game. Jaren Jackson is still trying to play. How many games is he at now? He's right on the cusp of qualifying for the various, you know, 65 awards. 64. Okay, well, you got one more in the tank, bud? He's been playing against competent opposition, which is not happening tonight, but it sounds like they want to get him in there, so we'll see. They've got a back-to-back later this week. I doubt Jaren Jackson plays in both halves of that. What's interesting for Memphis? Lots of stuff that's interesting. Not a whole lot of it that you can point to and go, yeah, there's a thing. Luke Kennard is interesting and also could be a thing if he starts. If he's just healthy the rest of the way, he'll sit a back-to-back almost for sure. But if he starts and plays 30 minutes, Kennard would be a go. JJJ's a go. If Bane comes back, he's a go. Brandon Clark is watch list material. I don't think his minutes get much above about 22, which, you know, historically has actually been kind of close to enough for him, but I can't recommend taking the plunge. Jake LaRavia, no schedule play, kind of a rebound steals target. GG Jackson is more of a points threes target who's going to sink you in the other stuff. If somehow things pivot and they're like, oh, Jordan Goodwin, you're just going to start for a week while we use up your two-way games, that would be interesting. I don't even know who this Pereira kid is, but he had 5 defensive stats, so you can watch list him. You can watch list Scottie Pippen Jr. You can watch list Lamar Stevens. Who cares? Who cares? Not I. Jalen Suggs bounced back as expected. He's been playing well down the stretch. He felt like one of those guys that just needed to get out of the dog days of the season. Oh, the season's so long, I can't play as hard as I want to play all year. But now you see the finish line, and the energy comes roaring back. Franz Wagner, 9-cat play. Suggs, 9-cat play. Banchero, better points league guy. Wendell Carter Jr. is more of a stat hunter. Some points, some boards, usually field goal percent from a big man that won't kill you in free throw percent either. And then anybody else you're looking at, Cole Anthony, Mo Wagner. Not even Mo Wagner. These guys are schedule level. Milwaukee. Patrick Beverley got the fill-in start for Dame, despite the busted hand. He had a pretty good one. Surprising. I don't think anybody on the Bucks is scheduled to miss an upcoming ball game. I'm sure they've got a couple of back-to-backs over the next 2 weeks, and so Middleton will sit one of those out, but that would end up just being good news for Beasley. I think as long as Dame is around, Beverley, this was a one-shot, and if you missed it, you missed it, which most of us did. And then Beasley, when Middleton is out, is still more of a three-point play anyway. So with Middleton sits in a back-to-back, you play Beasley, you get some threes. That's, again, you're sort of stat hunting. Rest of the time, you're not playing him. Team is healthy, so Bobby Portis goes back to being kind of more so on the outside looking in, unless you're, again, hunting points and rebounds. Good to see Brook Lopez actually block a couple of shots. That was relevant. Hawks have a great schedule this week. We'll talk a bunch about them on the streaming show. Jalen Johnson is back, baby. Check to make sure he wasn't dropped in your league. He would be a league-winning type of play this week. And I say that because not only is he very, very good at fantasy, but he also has a terrific schedule. They play 4 games and none of them on the overload days. So make sure nobody dropped Jalen Johnson. And then otherwise, I do still think you can probably play DeAndre Hunter barely. More of a points and percentages stream. The math probably says that he's playable in most formats, but I think maybe with Johnson back, you slide him down towards like a very good, doesn't matter type of dude. So then you got DeJounte Murray, Jalen Johnson, Clint Capella, Bogdan Bogdanovic. Those are the guys you can play in all formats because they do a bunch of different stuff. And then Hunter is sort of a little bit more of a fringy type where he's going to profile a lot like Harrison Barnes with a bunch of Kings hurt. Pretty similar.
Hey, pet parents. Are you searching for the perfect place for your dog to play? Check out Camp Bow Wow. Our safe and supervised doggy daycare and boarding ensures your pup gets the socialization they crave while giving you peace of mind. With our certified staff and clean and spacious facilities, your dog will have a blast making friends and staying active. Join the Camp Bow Wow Pack today. Your first day is free. Visit us at campbowwow.com. Franchise opportunities available.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Whoa, I went to the wrong date. Everybody ignore. Hey, mid-show reminder. I know most of you guys are watching on social media these days, and that's okay. Please don't exclusively rely on Twitter to watch the show, if I can beg you guys of that. Follow on some other platform, preferably iTunes or Spotify, because every show we do goes out on audio. Not every single show in the off-season is going to be on video. Yeah, YouTube works right now because we're doing all of our in-season shows on video, but that's definitely not a guarantee that it's going to continue from this point forward. So traditional pod channels is the way to go. Also, from an advertising standpoint, it actually helps us a lot more. But that's your not-so-subtle reminder there. And, of course, to check out our buddies over at Manscaped.com. Their partnership with us will go on a brief hiatus during the off-season. But check them out. Use code ETHOS20, ETHOS20. You guys get a couple of things here while we're finishing up the year. I'm sure that'll lock them in as a partner again for next season. 20% off free shipping at manscaped.com. Promo code there again is ETHOS20. Two teams we didn't talk about, or sorry, how many did I say originally? Four teams we didn't talk about. Detroit is one of them. I don't know when Cade's going to play and when he's not going to play. They're going easy on his knee and their season's over. I don't know when Simone Fontecchio might be back. Chimezie Metu got himself a real contract. If Cade sits, we saw Metu play pretty well when he got a few extra minutes. I don't think that he's an ad. If Cade sits, you got Jaden Ivey gets bumped up from points league level to all formats level. And then guys like Malachi Flynn, Evan Fournier become schedule type of plays. But basically, at that point, it's Duren, Cade, when the team is healthy. And if Cade sits, then Ivy's in. But Fontecchio's a guy you keep an eye on. Sorry, Metu's a guy you can keep an eye on. Fontecchio's a guy you kind of want to watch the injury report, see what's going on there. Indiana was another team that didn't play over the weekend. They had a good game against the Lakers going into it. Nesmith played better. Don't care. He's not even really a stat. He's not even really a category hunting guy. He sits in that zone because he's sort of okay at a lot of stuff, but he's kind of just okay at a lot of stuff. So he's sort of like a do you need a warm body type. TJ McConnell, I know he's only playing 19-20 minutes, but he does this every game. Teens in points and a handful of assists. He just didn't get any steals in this one in a weird twist. But I'm playing McConnell basically everywhere. Halliburton, Siakam, Miles Turner, obviously those are the everydayers. And then you've got, you know, Nesmith if you're kind of hunting just a tiny bit of everything. Categories, Nembhard if you want a three ball and a couple of assists, but those guys are, that's a reach, man. That's a reach. Phoenix and Portland were the other two. Let me see if I can find where they were on this board here. There they are. That's not them. Phoenix, they got their key guys in, so that's who you play. So that's an easy one. And then Portland, oh boy, are they a goofball team right now. DeAndre Ayton is back. They lost by 60. Scoot Henderson was a minus 58. I just saw that. I didn't even notice when I looked at that score back on Friday night. Holy crap. Oh, boy. Anyway, so look, if DeAndre Ayton is playing, you're playing him. It seems like Simons is done for the year. Shaedon Sharpe was playing with the G League, so there's a chance he might just pop up, but I wouldn't expect it. Who can you play against a games cap on this team? Ayton, yes. Banton is kind of a maybe. Like, Dan, isn't he a lot like Gigi Jackson, who you said no to? And yeah, but Banton rebounds and assists a little bit more. So even though you get the bad percentages stuff and turnovers, there's a little bit more upside. And there's just nobody else alive on this team anymore because Dybul's back out. Justin Manaya, who we weren't paying any attention to, he's hurt again. Jeremy Grant is doubtful, and he probably will be until October. And then you've got Scoot is another question mark here. Jabari Walker also is a question mark. You've got all these fringe-level guys, and you're like, okay, well, how much usage do they actually need to overwhelm their bad categories? And the answer is about this much. So you got Scoot. If you're playing him, you're assuming you're going to get a whole crap ton of turnovers and the percentages are going to be a mess. So points leagues, have at it. Scoot's a points league, easy call. Same with Banton, frankly. I think Banton sits inside the top 100 the rest of the way, barely sort of overcoming his inefficiencies. I don't think Scoot does. But again, if you need some points, you need some assists, you'll probably get those out of him. Tamari Parker got ruled out for the year. I remember they said he was out for a few ball games, and then they said the rest of the year. So he's out for the season now as well. He was the guy that I kind of like. Chris Murray, he'll probably do a little bit of many things. And if he plays 42 minutes, you could probably start him and just assume you're going to get a few points and a three and some rebounds, some assists, and probably a steal in there. It's going to be very not exciting. But if you just need to make up games, basically, in Roto, that's the play to go. And head-to-head, he'll be good enough in a good scheduling spot. And then Jabari Walker is points and rebounds only, so that's a category hunting type of play also. Yeesh. All right, there you go, everybody. 45 minutes deep. That's all 30 teams. Again, we will take a break, and then right after lunch, we'll give you the streaming episode. This is actually starting to hurt my voice today for some reason. I don't know why. Didn't do anything that should have my voice hurt. Anybody with a Games Cappy related question in the chat room before I pull the plug? Is Paul Reed worth an ad with the Joel Embiid up? I mean, if you need blocks, you can hang on for another ball game. Sort of the same old story here. Do I drop Keon Ellis for Kyle Lowry? That I don't think is a Games Cap related question. You know, Philly, they go Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. Sacramento, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. No, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. Nah, I don't think I'm making that swap. I think I'd rather have Keon Ellis. Some people saying thank you. You're welcome. Do you prefer Duncan Robinson over Max Strus? Yeah, I think I do. If Vasilij Micic does not play, who do you prefer in a points league? Trey Mann, Scoot Henderson, or Jalen Suggs? I go Scoot in a points league. Just close your eyes. Do the returns of IQ and Barrett turn Olynyk into a streamer? No. I don't think they impact him almost at all. Because frankly, he'd rather only take 6 to 9 shots a ball game, which, I mean, he did it in 8 shots in yesterday's. He'd rather be a facilitator. So I don't actually care that much who's around Olynyk as long as he's out there. And frankly, he might even be better throwing the ball to better players. Dan, why don't you care about Trendon Watford? Mostly because the Nets haven't really fully shut her down yet. Once they do, I may change my tune on that one. I sort of reserve the right to. He had 15 and 8, a couple of assists, a steal and a block, 7 out of 10 shooting, you know, unsustainable shooting numbers there. I would love it if the Nets sat Dorian Finney-Smith the rest of the way, or if Mikal Bridges finally decided that he didn't want his games played streak to continue. That's really the problem, is that you've got an Iron Man, and maybe he starts playing just the first half, and maybe that's the way it goes. But it's just that there isn't enough there every single game if he's not shooting, you know, 70% or whatever it is. Previous game, he had 11, 5, and 4 with 2 steals. That was good. 24 minutes isn't enough, though. 29, if that actually happened every ball game, I think I'd probably do something about it. But he's on a serious heater. He's shot 70% in 3 of his last 4 ball games. And we just know that, first of all, guys don't shoot that in the NBA. Watford's not a bad field goal percent guy, but also he's hit some threes, which is not really his MO. He's shooting 40% from downtown, and He has, what, 6 threes over those four ball games as well. So there's a lot of stuff with him that's sort of over his skis in this limited sample size. But if the minutes stick at some point, if somebody gets shut down or whatever and he starts playing 28, 29 instead of low to mid-20s, then I would probably think about it. So, you know, put him on the watch list if you like. That's fine. What are my thoughts on Markelle Fultz? I don't want anything to do with him. He's not going to play back-to-backs, and he's not doing very much even when he does play. Bagley or Brook Lopez? I'm going to go Brook. Both teams have four-game weeks, and if Rashawn Holmes shows up, then this one becomes a very easy decision. And that is where we'll put a pin in it until our streaming show in about 2 to 2.5 hours from now. That'll allow some more news to trickle in, because it certainly has been, even while we've been on air. That's the way of the league right now. You know, since we've been doing this show, we got like 9 injury updates, one of them being the big one that Joel Embiid is not playing tomorrow. So please, everybody, take a second. If you're new, find a way to subscribe. It makes a massive difference in what we do here at Sports Ethos and what I'm able to do, so on and so forth. And someone just popped in with a question about Barrett and quickly on Gary Trent Jr. Wheel it back, baby. Roll the tape back. We talked about that one earlier in the show. Not trying to call you out, but we did that one already. Have a great midday. I'll see you guys in a couple of hours. Thanks for tuning into all of our shows these days. Again, this is the last week where we're going 2 days. Next week, we'll go to 1 show per day, except maybe for Monday. And then the offseason, we will once again return to Monday through Friday only, because Dano will need a little bit of a respite. And yes, working every single weekday on a pod, that's a break for me. Hugs and kisses. I'll see you guys in a bit.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.